My guest today is Lorraine Murphy from the Down Syndrome Center. We will be talking to her about her experience as a mom of a special child and the 21 Faces awareness campaign that they are doing now from the Down Syndrome Center. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Lakshmi. How are you?
Good morning. I just wondered whether that song was okay for you, or is there some criticism of it?
Well, I guess it's probably maybe an old-fashioned
view of what
Down syndrome is. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's of its time. That's what I would say. But
yes.
I know the sentiment is meant to be is a good sentiment. But I think absolutely it's an old-fashioned view.
It is an old-fashioned view. I mean, when I chose that, I was wondering, you know, and I read the lyrics. It's a beautiful. The voice is beautiful and the music is beautiful,
yeah.
But I suppose at that time it was appropriate for that time. We are thinking differently
Absolutely.
Now, isn't it? Yeah.
It is, yes. Because I think, I suppose back then people didn't really know as much as they know today about children with Down syndrome and, you know, their potential and how far they can get in life. And children were probably written off quite easily back in those days.
Yes. That they have vacant eyes and so, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They're not really vacant. There's a lot going behind those eyes, isn't
there? There's a lot going on, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So tell us about your experience as a mum and, you know.
Yeah, I guess I work in the Down Syndrome Centre and I'm working on an awareness campaign called 21 Faces. It's about children with Down Syndrome.
Mm.
But I also have a little boy who has Down Syndrome, Reuben. He's 9 now. I have 2 little boys, another little fellow, Louis, he's 7. But I guess my experience as a mum, when Reuben was born, we didn't know he was going to have Down syndrome.
Yes.
So we found out at the birth, and it was a shock, absolutely. We were just obviously weren't expecting it. These things happen to other people, that's what you always think.
Mm.
So I think, you know, as soon as we got the diagnosis, really it was, the feelings were fear, panic, and grief. You know, first of all, I guess there's a real cliche about, you know, just before you die, your life flashes before you.
Yes.
But I think
yes.
when you have a child with special needs and you're given the diagnosis, their life flashes before your eyes.
Mm.
Like the things that myself and my husband were both thinking were, oh God, you know, he's never going to have children or get married or go to college or drive a car or travel the world or do anything like that. They were all the things that we were thinking. And
all
we
the things
also
he couldn't
worried.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah, all the things he couldn't do, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're also worried about, you know, what's going to happen. Like, literally, in a split second, you're thinking, what's going to happen to him when we die? You know, so this is what you're thinking, literally, in the labor ward, you know, when you've just been given the diagnosis. So I think, you know, you're trying to cope with that, and also you're grief stricken because it's not the child that you expected.
Yes.
So you have to come to a certain level of acceptance, and it's very tough, I think, you know, in the first few days and the first few weeks.
Yes. It's supposed to be a joyous occasion, and here you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And it was our first child as well,
yes.
And a very longed for a child, you know, and we were. We're very excited, and you know, so it was a readjustment.
Yes,
absolutely. But you know, as soon as we, you know, once we kind of realised that, like, he's a baby, he's our baby, and you know, we love him, and he had jaundice when he was born, so we were very concerned before we left the hospital about, you know, kind of feeding him and getting him to the right colour and stuff. So, like, all those kind of things took over then. But I would say that, you know, people around you, like, I remember an auntie saying to me, she was going, God, you're so lucky. My kids are all gone and you're going to have him with you forever. I just remember being...
That's a good positive way of
being
thinking.
Horrified by that.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
I want him to fly the nest, you know, and I want him to have all those experiences like everybody does.
Yes.
So, you know, it's you're very sensitive, and I suppose people, you find sometimes people don't really know what to say. And I would say that really as well in the hospital. A lot of the medical professionals... You know, it's. I think maybe a bit of training is needed. You know, talking to other parents
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when you had this child, right? I suppose you felt that there wasn't enough people kind of you can talk with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that we wanted, myself and my husband, we kind of craved, we really wanted to talk to other people in the same situation.
Yes.
And we, you know, your family is fantastic and all your friends, everybody's rallying around they're bringing casseroles and doing all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But, you know, you kind of feel like you don't understand, you know, you don't understand what I'm going through at the moment. And I want to talk to people that do understand it.
Yes.
And I guess really, I wish, you know, the place I work in now, the Down Syndrome Centre, it opened in 2014, and it's full of parents, and
yes.
they're all exchanging stories. And I just wish that was there when we had a Reuben, because that's what we needed.
Yes.
We just needed to talk to other parents, and not in a clinical, medical kind of environment, but somewhere where you could actually go and make a cup of tea and have a chat, and even have a cry, you know.
Yes.
Because you're just trying to come to terms with everything. You're trying to come to terms with it, and other parents know what you're going through, you know. So, absolutely.
Actually, with special children, you become special parents, don't you?
Yeah, I think you just want to find out as much as you can. And
yes.
Obviously, Down syndrome comes with a lot of health implications.
Yes.
Now, it depends on the child, and, you know, Reuben did have an AST, a little hole in his heart, which he had to have an operation on, but it was much later. His muscle tone, you see, we didn't really know much about Down syndrome at all, you know, so the one thing we figured out was children with Down syndrome, their muscle tone can be quite low, and what that means really is that, you know, when you have a little baby, they're quite floppy.
Hmm.
You have to be very careful holding them. They're, you know, and it affects their health. It affects them. It affects, you know, shaking off a cold, and that can turn into pneumonia, which has happened with Reuben a couple of times. And it affects their physical development, you know, walking and crawling and just having the strength.
Yes.
And also, you know, eating and feeding themselves, you know, picking up a spoon and having the strength to be able to grip a spoon properly. So all those things that, like, we didn't, and they were scary when we heard first. We were like, oh my God, all these things are, you know, how are we going to overcome them? And are we going to be good enough parents? Are we going to be able to do this? And, you know, there's definitely a sense of panic. So I think the way we overcame that a bit was, like, try and get as much information as possible and, you know, try and ask the right questions with medical professionals.
Yes. Now, when the child was born, did anyone tell you that how to deal with, for instance, the medical people in the hospital? Or and the other thing I want to ask is, did you know that you were going to have a Down syndrome baby?
Well, no, we didn't know we were going to have a child with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
So now I know I've met other parents that did. You know, they found out before the baby was born.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just a different. There's still the acceptance that you have to go through. But I think when we were there, when we were in the hospital, like one of the main consultants came in and, you know, into the labor ward and said, "Well, he has Down syndrome. How do you feel about that?" And we were like, "What do you mean?"
When you were in labor?
This was just after having him.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes.
So it was just, how do you feel about that? And we didn't really know what to say. So we found then that, you know, a lot of them, we had a social worker then, and we were given leaflets with, you know, all the things that could be wrong, or the health implications. So we kind of read through that. But what we basically needed to, I suppose, talk, we felt we didn't have enough help in those early days. Like, it would have been great to have, you know, a social worker come in and to have a good chat and go through exactly, you know, what other families have been through and just talk about other parents' experiences. So we felt we probably didn't get enough support in those early days.
So when did you start getting good support, and did you look for them for it, or how did you find this support?
We did. I suppose when you have a baby, then before you're discharged from the hospital, they figure out where do you live. So, and then it's what catchment area are you in? So what service are you under? So we were living on the north side of the city at the time, and we were under the care of St. Michael's house in Ballymun. So I think that's really, you know, all your earlier intervention stuff kind of goes through your service provider.
Yes.
So it took a little while to kind of get up and running there.
And then
we did start to get some services. But I have to say, we always felt like we were battling for more services and asking for more services, and that he wasn't getting enough. Reuben didn't start walking until he was six. He had quite low muscle tone, which is a little bit unusual, I suppose. A lot of children would be up on their feet by about three or so, you know.
Yes.
So he did walk, like, we were delighted. It was a great celebration in the house that day. But so we were always looking for more physiotherapy. We were looking for more speech therapy. And, you know, you get it in blocks, and then that's your lot for a little while, and then you get it again, you know. So we might have got a couple of blocks of speech therapy, maybe three blocks a year, but, you know, we needed a lot more than that. So we just found that it's the service, and it's the need for it, and the amount of children that are under the care of that service. So,
yeah,
we've always battled for more, and we've always felt.
Did you get any psychological help at that time?
No, well, we didn't. I suppose there was a social worker there that we talked to, but there was no psychologist or anything like that. So there wasn't really anybody to, like, from, I suppose, a psychologist to go and have a chat to. And I think what we have here in the Down Syndrome Centre, we have a psychologist here that parents can come in. And what we find usually is it's probably the earlier years that parents might come, you know, close after the birth, they might want to have a chat to a psychologist. And also times when there's a transition, and the transition could be, you know, a child going to school, or a child going to mainstream school, or maybe the child is going to mainstream school, they're going to go to a special school. And, you know, there are times, I suppose, for all parents that, you know, you need to dock in with somebody and have a chat and talk about your feelings and talk about, you know, I think for a lot of parents, when they put children into a mainstream school, they're holding their breath and crossing their fingers, and they're worried about their child, you know, and how they're going to manage in a mainstream setting.
Yes.
And I think for parents who put their child into a special school, I'm speaking from my own experience, because my son is in a special school, but we felt, God, are we doing enough? You know, is this the right thing? Should we be pushing him? You know, should we be putting him into a mainstream school and just seeing how he gets on? But, like, as it happened, it was the right decision for us. But it was a scary time. We were like, we want to do the best, and are we doing the best?
It's a question for parents to see whether, you see, I suppose there's no one to help you unless you go into these special areas, you know, like, well, you can go to special needs services. But then if there are not, these needs services are not provided for the needs of the parents.
Yes.
You know, so I suppose what you're doing now is in the Down Syndrome Center, with your experience, that you know what needs you need, right? When you have a child who is a special child, and then you're providing these services.
Yeah, so what we do here, we have, like, new parents' evenings a couple of times a year. And we invite any new parents that would like to come, and it's a lovely evening. They get to meet other parents probably for the first time. And all of our practitioners, like, we provide speech therapy, occupational therapy, and physiotherapy, and also some other, we teach in groups, early intervention services.
Yes.
So we'd have the teachers and the practitioners all stand up and just say a little piece about, you know, what they do and the kind of benefits that they, you know, their service would give a child with Down syndrome. And we'd usually have a mum come up and do a talk. So it's great. It's the first time that you actually probably get to meet other parents, and it's the start of your journey, I think, when, you know, you meet other parents and you walk into the centre. And it's great. It's great to get that support, and it's great to provide that support. But we also, for parents, we have regular seminars. We probably have a seminar every month. And we ask the parents, what do they want? So we'd have, you know, we might have a seminar on nutrition or on behavioural issues or on, you know, siblings, and, you know, how sometimes siblings may feel a little bit left out when you have a child with special needs, and how you cope with that as a parent. You know, we had a child psychologist in, a play therapist in recently, and that was very well attended. So what we try to do is just embrace the whole family, and we have siblings camps as well actually during the summer, so siblings can get together and talk about their feelings. So the whole idea is, you know, that this is a place, it's a community for everybody who's affected, you know, if they have a child with Down syndrome.
Yes, that's really very interesting that you provide these services, because you know what you need, isn't it?
Absolutely, we get great feedback as well from the parents. We always, like, it's important. I know as a parent, and we also have another parent, Trina Cousin. She runs Team 21 Tots, and her little boy, Joshua, is six. So Trina as well is very, you know, she knows exactly what parents need as well, being a mother. But we regularly dock in with parents and see and ask them what they need, and then we try and provide that.
Now, Ruben has obviously a sibling. You were saying that you have another child. How do they get on at home?
Yeah, they get on very well. There's like 2 years between them, so they're very, I suppose, close in age. They share a bedroom. Ruben doesn't have any words yet, but he does communicate through love sign language, which is kind of a very easy, simple sign language system, and pictures. So he can absolutely, he's a smart cookie, and he's well able to communicate. And what we'd find with Louis is, like, Louis would translate a lot of the stuff if somebody new comes in, and he'd explain to them, oh, Ruben doesn't speak yet, but he's looking for this, or he's handing you a sentence strip with a picture on it, that means this. So he's very protective of him.
You know, you must have been a working mother, I gather.
Yeah, I was.
So did you get, you know, how did you get your children minded, like especially Ruben?
Was it difficult? In the early years, I worked for another charity, Age Action, actually, before I came to the Down Syndrome Centre. And I cut my days down to 3 days a week. We basically just, we had to hire childminders because there wasn't anything there for Ruben until he was, I think it was the ECCE year. You were able to split it over 2 years. So he was 3.5, I think, or something like that, when we were able to do some hours in a preschool setting. And he had an SNA.
Yes.
So we were able to just kind of split his hours. But that was like 2 mornings a week, and then it was 3 mornings a week the following year. So that was kind of it. That's all we got, really, from a care and developmental perspective. We had a childminder for a good few years, and our childminder actually learned, she did the law of sign language course. I think everybody around Ruben at the time, aunties and uncles and, you know, cousins and everybody, very much got into, like, what can we do to help and how can we help communicate with Ruben. And so it was great. It was a real team effort. But there was nothing else there for us in that sense.
Yes. So you, I suppose your family and your extended family probably helped you a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've four sisters. So they came in very handy. Yeah, there was a lot of help actually, and a brother, and everybody helped out. They helped out as much as they could, whenever they could. Ruben, I think, through the early years had a good few stays in hospital, so we were in and out a lot. And he developed infantile spasms when he was about 8 months old, which is a form of epilepsy. Thank goodness now he's actually, he did grow out of it. But, you know, there were a couple of years there where he was on high medication, and we were just trying to juggle everything, really. And I think, you know, for a lot of parents, when there are health, you know, high health needs, really, the Down syndrome kind of goes out the window, and you just focus on your child and getting your child better. And that was certainly, you know, by the time Ruben was 8 months and he was diagnosed with that, we were devastated and trying to figure out how we're going to, you know, what kind of medication to put him on. It was all trial and error, and it was very tough. You know, we absolutely struggled. We struggled to try and get the seizures under control, and everybody, I think, at that stage really upped the ante, and they rallied around, and, you know, we had friends and family. Everybody was just trying their best to help out as much as they could. But, like, thankfully now, his health is fantastic. And I think I remember somebody in the hospital saying to us that, you know, in a lot of cases, maybe for the first 3 years or so, that's when you go through a lot of health problems, you know, pneumonia, yes, and other things like that, and heart operations. And things start to, excuse me, things start to eventually, you know, start to come right, really. You know, the child gets a little bit bigger, their immune system gets a bit better, even with hearing problems, their ear canals get a little bit better, so glue ear isn't such a problem. So, and that's what we found with Reuben, you know, a lot of the health stuff started to fall away, luckily enough, and he's doing great now, you know. Yes. So we look, touch wood.
I suppose it's the information you needed and people you needed to talk about the information.
Yeah, absolutely. Information and other people, and, you know, talking to them about their experiences. Yes.
A community of parents.
Yeah, exactly. A community of parents.
Are the services now a bit better, or are they still the same?
No, they're not at all. And I think that's why we exist. Like, we're a charity. The Down Syndrome Centre is a charity. But there is a need for the services. I know that there's progressing disability services is on its way at the moment, and what that is, the government is trying to bridge gaps and kind of black holes around the country where there are little or no services, and that's really kind of getting equality of services. But that still doesn't mean a child is going to get the right amount of services they need. Like, you know, I think children with Down syndrome, speech therapy is a very big thing for children with Down syndrome. Speech clarity can be an issue, and that's down to muscle tone and sometimes hearing problems. And, you know,
Lorraine, I have to stop you here there, but could you tell us about your 21 Faces campaign?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you know, it will be an important thing for you too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So 21 Faces, it's in its third year now, and it features 21 children that use our services here at the Down Syndrome Centre. So we're basically, the children are aged between 3 and 11 now, and the whole idea is that it celebrates the uniqueness and diversity of children with Down Syndrome. And we want everybody to see the children first and foremost as themselves. The children first, not just children with Down Syndrome. And we're asking people to look past Down Syndrome and see the child. So what we've done is we've taken 21 portrait photos of the kids every year. So we've got 3 of them now for each child. And we put them all together on our website. And even from a visual point of view, I think the strength of the campaign is you see all the children together. And yes, sometimes Down syndrome is recognizable, but when you see the children together, you go, wow, you know, they look completely different to each other. They look more like their parents and their families than they do like each other. So we're just trying to kind of break down barriers about Down syndrome, and we want people to see that the child first, and to see that they have hobbies, they have likes and dislikes. The families write a testimonial every year about how the children are getting on and, like, what they're succeeding in. And it's really interesting because you can actually see, like, this child has a personality and is brilliant at sports and hates doing her homework. And it's just like all other children. So we're just trying to break down barriers and get people to see the children as themselves first and foremost. And, you know, not to see them as one group.
You're actually informing the community about Down syndrome, in other words.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We are. And we're asking, I suppose we want people to see that children with Down syndrome have so much to offer. And if the right supports and services are in place for them, they can really thrive. They can do so well in life. They can go off, they can have a job, they can live independently, you know, depending, or they can live in sheltered or supported accommodation.
Could you tell us about your website so that people can...
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is downsyndromecentre.ie, and if you click on it, you can click onto our 21 Faces campaign. You can follow all of the children, and you can read their testimonials for the last 3 years. We also, there's Dunn Stores have come on board this year in a very big way, and they have a photo exhibition in Cornell Court Shopping Centre. And Dublin Bus have come on board. They've got posters all over their buses at the moment, and we've got giant posters dotted around the city centre and on the Dart Line. So we're just asking people to go onto the website and have a read and just see that these kids are like all kids, you know, they've got an awful lot of potential.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Lorraine, and you're such a positive mum.
Thanks a million, Lakshmi.
Thank you.
Talk to you. Thank you.